On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys. It's happening. Oh, my God, guys. Oh, my God. I wish you all were here.
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No.
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Masturbation song, she-bop, he-bop, you-bop.
I'm not sure what the f*** this is. I'm about to find out.
This is Tall Can Audio.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back in to one of the most depressing shows we do every year. It's the end of summer, man. What's happening?
It's not the end of summer.
You've been outside? You've been looking around?
Yeah, man. I cut the grass today. Yeah. In the pool after the grass. Now, again, for those of you following the saga of Rob's pool, it was a minty fresh 59 degrees
Jesus
today.
This is episode number 726. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Tall Can Audio, facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Make sure you are following along wherever you're listening to this one. If you want to go back and check out 725, this will catch Rob a little off guard because I held it in my back pocket a little longer than we expected to. But we were talking about the kids heading back to school, whether or not they could be trusted not to have a good time like we had a good time. And as well, that awkward moment when you accidentally name your craft beer after pubic hair in someone else's culture. That's 724, 25. 724 was Dan Schulman. You can check that out wherever you're listening to this or at tallcanaudio.com. So plenty of good stuff on the pod right now if you want to go back and check it out. What have you been keeping busy with, man? Because, you know, I guess it's been a week or so now since we've done one of these in person.
A ton of sports.
Yeah.
Right? I look at, since we last spoke, I don't know, last Thursday was, you got to see a million things, right? You got to see overtime goals. You got to see Jay's coming back. You got to see OG Anunoby's.
Man,
you know,
that pass by Lowry, eh? Like, Jesus.
Well, and it's really, you know, the focus is on the Anunoby shot, as it should be. But, yeah, it's the idea that a six-foot Kyle Lowry could pass it over a seven-foot-five.
And have it land right where OG needs it, right? Like, whole sequence, unbelievable. And
right.
It won't go down with the Kawhi shot because it's not a series winner. It's not a whatever. Like, it won't be remembered the same. But almost equally as incredible, right? Like,
well, I think it's a more incredible shot.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
When you put everything together. Now, again, yeah, a series winner, you know, in game seven.
No crowd away from this a little bit.
Hugely, yeah. Right? And if you would have had Kevin Harlan, who I think was doing the late game that night, right?
Right.
But the two guys on Raptors radio tried their best because it had the same kind of, both gave us the, oh, at the same time.
Well, it might as well be for the series. You go down 3-0, you're done, right? So as we sit here now, it's back to 2-2.
Right.
Interesting.
And the Celtics are saying, hey, man, we'll give you that 100% of the time.
Sure. If you can hit that, power to you, right?
Right. We're going to take away Siakam and Van Vliet.
Yep.
And if you can hit that, all right, man.
What do you want me to do?
I'm going to shrug my shoulders and walk off, right? I think if you're taking away, you know, the top two options on the floor.
The East looks so wide open right now. Giannis has clearly been hurting. Out of the starting five for Milwaukee coming into today as we sit here Sunday afternoon, they had played a total of 4 fourth quarter minutes thus far in their series. And just before we turned it on, I could see there was a highlight floating around on Twitter, Giannis down, clutching his ankle again. So what that looks like, obviously the Raptors and Celtics 2-2 as we sit here, that's anybody's game. Man, the East there looks I think a lot of people just expected you'd see Toronto-Milwaukee again, maybe with a different result, but in the East Final. It looks wide open right now.
That's the extent of my basketball time.
All right.
I don't want to get... Well, no. I have been watching it, right? And, yeah. And you look at how good the Heat's looked.
Yep.
And really, it could just as easily be Boston-Miami in the East Final. Or, you know, at this point, Miami-Toronto.
Yep.
And I, at that point... Yeah, I like Toronto's chances against Miami. I know they're...
No, I'm with you there.
But I think right now, getting past Boston would be a huge boost.
Yep.
Right, being down 0-2. And I heard the stat of 300... and this is an approximate, I can't remember. It was over 320 times a series had been down, a team had been down 0-2.
Mm-hmm.
Only, I don't know, 28 times
right. Has
a team come back from that, right? And one was Toronto last year, obviously. But,
yep.
Man, that is, you are, if you're down 0-2, let alone 0-3, because it's never happened in the NBA.
Right.
Right? Man, that is a less than 10% chance when you're down 0-2. That is steep.
Well, we're going to talk a little hockey here in a bit, but I was reading, and I've seen it before, but it just popped up again, the idea that NHL playoff series, even the most... you know, tilted or lopsided ones are nothing in comparison to the NBA, right? And whether it's parity, whether it's the coin flip nature of hockey, whatever it might be, you know, if you're down 0-2, as you're saying, especially if you are by far, and there's not much to choose between Toronto and Boston, but if you're a 1-8 down 0-2, you are fucking toast. And they said, like, you need to, in the NHL, play like a best of 52 to guarantee... as often that the best team will come out as a best of seven in the NBA. Like, and it's just the nature of the two different sports, right? And
yeah.
And how much, you know, your starters can carry you in an NBA series. But just to kind of further the idea that the parity in the NHL right now isn't always a great thing. What are you drinking today?
I'm glad you asked that, Matt. Hmm. I swung into conspiracy theory.
I love a good swing.
Which is right here in beautiful BC, Bell's Corners. Yeah. which for those of you on the know, it's either severely West Nepean or severely East Kanata.
It's right on that border town.
Yeah, it's kind of in between you and I where we are right now, but a bit north. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of a ghetto too. Sorry about that, BC.
All
conspiracy.
BCs.
Yeah, conspiracy theory is they're not quite open yet for food, and it's going to be also a bit of a coffee joint.
Mm.
But they are open for beer pickup, so I swung in there and grabbed a couple, and I am drinking right now Cousin Yeti.
We all got one of those.
Yeah, and I think you should maybe look into conspiracy theory. They seem to be focusing a lot on this Cousin Yeti is a pale ale.
Okay.
Using British Columbia Sasquatch hops.
Oh, shout out to the other BC.
Yeah, BC to BC. Yeah. So it is, it's interesting. It's got a little bit more, you know, it's a little hoppier than I would traditionally expect from a pale ale.
But, right.
But it's nice and it's easy drinking. I got a couple of different beers here in the go and I'll get into the other one when I crack that bad boy. But obviously, going by the name, they have a bunch of, you know, one of the beers is called Grassy Knoll. Another one is called Area 51.
Okay, so you can see what they're going for here.
Right. And the other one I'll be cracking open later is MK Ultra, which is...
Michelob.
Which they're calling a sessionable IPA.
Mm.
Right? And so... MK Ultra, for those of you following, was a CIA brainwashing experiment that I think they did some of here at McGill.
Really?
Yeah. Some of it
that
illegal.
That would explain a lot.
Just so you know.
No shit.
So anyways, that's when I cracked that bad boy. It's, as I said, a sessionable IPA. Comes in about 4.5. And as opposed to some of your traditional citrusy New England style IPAs, this mm-hmm. is sort of going with a mango apricot sort of stone fruit kind of flavors, and I'll let you know how that goes when I crack it. But this is a little bit hoppy for a pale ale, but comes in about 5.7%.
Nice, man. By all means, let us keep us posted. Something new.
I'm enjoying it.
Right on. I won't spend too much time here because I've covered it before, but I am into the Old Flame as back
oh, you're
near
back.
Home.
Yeah. Which one, though?
This is the Raven, which is...
okay.
A
stout?
Yeah. Well, it's like a dark brown ale. They stop short of calling it a stout, but it is their newest one for a while. It was only seasonal, and I had to always send my old man off. Whenever I would see on their Instagram that it was back in stock, I'd send him to go and fill up the truck and make sure we had a... But they seem to have bought... they're into canning it now. It's a more regular thing, so... have some of that here too. So we've talked about that one quite a bit before, but as always, we will share the beers on Twitter and, well, probably not on Twitter, maybe on Twitter. On Instagram, though, for sure, at Tall Can Audio. On this day, I know you're going to love this, man. I know you enjoy a good time. On this day in 1983, Cyndi Lauper's Girls Just Wanna Have Fun is released. Not much, eh?
Yeah.
Good stuff, man.
So there's Girls Just Want to Have Fun with Captain Lou Albano in the video.
Yes. Kick off the rock and wrestling connection there, all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, Cyndi Lauper was at WrestleMania 1.
That's correct. Yep. That's correct. In the corner of Wendy Richter.
Looking crazy ass, too, right?
Well, at WrestleMania, it's hard to look any other way.
all through the night, she bop. Yeah. A masturbation song, she bop, he bop, a you bop. Yeah. So,
don't pull me into this.
True Color. Yeah. We know. We got a good idea about you, Matt. True Colors.
I call it like, Cousin Yeti.
Honestly, I think that album had like four number one hits on it.
Yeah. And I think we have addressed that album before, or maybe this song before. I can't remember. But this was a number one hit. Like 8 months before the album came out, and it just stayed at number one for months. Like it was a huge kind of
super
breakout.
Annoying.
Yeah. Okay. So,
like at that time, and again, I'm sad that I know that much off the cuff about Girls Just Want to Have Fun, but you know, it was Madonna, Like a Virgin. It was that Cyndi Lauper album. It was the Bryan Adams Reckless. It was Corey Hart, that Sunglasses at Night, right? In that time frame, though,
yeah,
bam, those were big, big, big albums. And in my house, of course, none of that was being played with dirt older brothers. That is the Defenders of the Faith, Judas Priest album is freshly out there.
Okay.
Iron Maiden Power Slave album is
Dirts Just Wanna Have Fun.
Dirts Just Wanna Have Fun. Yeah, it's true. And there was a lot of bopping going on in that house as well. When you have three teenage boys, there's really not enough socks around, to be honest with you.
Holy shit. One of our listeners sent in middle of last week. He jumped the gun on me a little bit. He's like, I know coming up, normally it's that Labor Day show, and this is obviously somebody who's been around for a while. It's our friend Kyle in Boston, who we hear from every now and then, that it's always this show where I seem to lament the going away of the summer dress for the year, of the sundress or whatever. And I had to point out to our friend Kyle that it's been like 14 degrees here for the last week or so. Like the death of the summer dress came early this season, man. And but he's right. Well, this is normally where I go, oh man, like it's the season of sweaters and
this is a season unlike any other, because despite things being loosened up, right, in terms of your restrictions, still nobody's still traveling around as much as you'd really like.
Right.
Hey, and a shout out to Kyle in Boston. Sorry about your Bruins, because man, that window I think is...
Well, what do you think?
Keep your fingers away. No. I think keep your fingers away from the windowsill, because, man, that may get slammed on them.
Tori Krug just the other day said, yeah, I'd be fine to stay in Boston, but I'm not taking...
Show me the money!
Yeah, I'm not taking shorter term or less money to do it, so...
Show me the money! Yeah, no, he's saying, I've bet on myself, and that's the first thing when you go, dude, all right. I bet on myself for years. And again, this is a guy, undrafted... Right, who had to work for whatever he got, right, from the USHL
sure. Yeah.
up, right, an undersized guy who's taken some damage, some concussion issues there.
Yep.
I put the chances of him going back to Boston at under 10%.
Chara, I mentioned, you know, I'd be surprised as well if he retired, but I did hear a clip of him on Boston radio not long after they were eliminated saying, you know, like, yeah, I could come back, but that's really up to my age. And really, like, he hardly sounded married to it.
Yeah, but he did say, I'm a Bruin.
Yep. Oh, yeah. No, I don't think he's coming back anywhere else. It's just a question of whether he's coming back or not.
And he played for $2 million plus bonuses this year, right? Yeah. That was his contract. And I think he would be just as happy if he felt like the team could still be competitive, and it will be. That he'd come back for about the same money.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it'll be a big money deal to make him stay.
Because if you don't bring him back and you don't bring Krug back...
Well, don't you think not bringing him back would help you bring Krug back?
Yeah, I don't think that $2 million... I don't think that $2 million... And I don't have Cap Friendly over here to see...
It'd help.
No, I don't think... I think Krug is looking for that $7 million range. Right. Right?
None of that, like, they're not really cap strapped in Boston. Like, all the, like, Pasternak signed before the RFA explosion thing happened.
So did Marchand.
Marchand is at a reasonable six something, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's a couple of guys over 90 points.
Yeah.
Taken in, and that's where, and it's funny, and you wonder when, just prior to Mitch Marner signing for that big fat Mitch Marner cash, right? Marchand was trolling the Leafs saying, well, that guy deserves at least $10 million, right? Yeah. And but you wonder if part of that is a little jealousy because he's put up way more points than sure. Marner, but is coming in almost $4 million less.
Well, and I think Bergeron might be around like only six or something like that. Like all their top guys are.
Well, and like it or not, and usually yeah, I was just going to say, and usually not. Don Sweeney, short of drafting, has done a pretty decent job.
That's
there.
Right. That's right.
Now, if he can only get his goalie straightened out,
well,
there may be trouble at the hen house there, my friend.
The fan base in Boston not particularly understanding of Tuukka Rask's desire to go home. Yeah, that has not sat well. There's radio hosts going off about how selfish he is, and obviously fans are idiots. But you'd like to think the media might be a little more measured, but not in Boston. So we'll see what that looks like. It might be hard for him to come back as well. Now, he was already oddly unpopular for a guy with as many wins as he has had in Boston. The fan base has never quite wrapped their arms around him, so I wonder what that looks like in the future as well.
Well, and nobody, doesn't matter who you talk to, and I was listening to Joe Haggerty the other day.
Why?
It was a little post-series wrap-up.
Yep.
And he was fairly reasonable on the Tuukka Rask front. No matter how many Boston people you talk to, they all bring up, but he was the backup to Timmy Thomas in 2011. And you're like, dude, that's 10 years ago.
Maybe time to let that go.
For sure. And you're like, why is that a bad thing for Tuukka?
Well, and people don't remember that the next year when they had that log, Thomas was like, I'm good. Just left. Like, just if you want to talk about Tuukka Rask abandoning the team in this weird fucking bubble and going to see his kid, who by all accounts wasn't well, you know. Tim Thomas was the biggest flake you've ever seen. And again, good on him. Like, he made a good career. He was another guy who had to come out of Europe and
Finland,
create a spot for himself and everything. So I'm not ripping on Tim Thomas. But you may have a bit of a double standard here looking back at the... And I get it. The guy who wins you the cup probably gets a pass, but a little unreasonable, I think, at times here, man.
Yeah. And if you look at what they did in terms of... We talked about prior to the second round, right? Saying I didn't believe Krejci could do it for a second round. He was huge in that first round, and he didn't. And I just think for a guy who has been a playoff warrior in the past, he's come up big in the playoffs. I just think that's a guy who is well north of 30.
Yep.
And you look at, they brought in Richie and they brought in
Kasha,
and man, Kasha is like Eric Condra. Dude can skate like nobody's business. Couldn't hit the net if he was nobody else on the ice with him.
Right.
It's amazing, right? And so it's funny while you're talking about Richie.
Sure.
That hit he put on Yanni Gourde.
Yeah. Ugly, man.
You know, ugly. And again, with nobody in the stands, and it's and you can hear everything, when Richie hits him and goes, woo! Like, and you can hear it all around. Gives him a blast. And then
you guys see that? I got him right in the numbers.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, this is exactly. And that's honestly, like, you, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
And so, what a bust. Bust Nola. And then I was surprised to see him back.
Well, and, you know, but, like, even after the fact, like, Cassidy and the management weren't shy. They, like, said in that didn't work. And that Pasternak not fit enough. And there was some time there early on in camp and then in the bubble where people were wondering whether Pasternak had the Rona, right? He was sitting out and
the Rona.
And they were talking about, you know, it might have been Cassidy said, you know, we would have liked those two to have been more mature, but then didn't elaborate. And so you're like, oh, were they out like at the bar? And, you know, that's how maybe they got exposed. It turned out they were just fat, like didn't train or do anything during the four or 5 months off. So.
And see, Bruce Cassidy, good Ottawa guy. He's come on. He's been like, you know, he comes on before every series. He does a little Ottawa hit. And they asked him directly about Pasternak. And
right.
They said, you know, what about his fitness level? And do you think he can get up to speed? And Cassidy answered it flat out. He said, yeah, he's not in good enough shape. And you can't catch up in the middle of the playoffs.
Right.
Like you are.
Yeah, from here you wear down.
This is it.
Yep.
And so it's not like, oh, I'm going to play every second day because you're not practicing. Right, there's a lot of resting and a downtime because you are playing such a condensed schedule, and that was condensed just in case came across as something else. So yeah, it's interesting, right? Because that guy is an absolute difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Captain Obvious. But if they don't have that guy going, yeah, the chances start sliding right down the pole.
As we sit here Sunday afternoon. By the time you guys hear this, it'll be Monday morning. So the first game of the Western Conference Final will have taken place. That's Dallas and Vegas. Monday, we will see Tampa and the Islanders. Either of those holding a ton of interest for you?
Yeah. Yeah, both, actually.
Okay.
Surprisingly, the East less.
Yeah, me
the
too.
The Islanders.
Unwatchable, man. They just suck the fun right out of it.
Well, but you're looking at a team that's getting in excess of 40 shots. It's not like they're trapping a la the 90s Devils, right? It's they are getting all kinds of opportunities. I think once they get rid of the Flyers, who were a team that I was super stoked, right? The way they finished the season,
mm-hmm.
the way they came out in the seeding matchups,
yep.
And I was like, man, I can't wait to see
look
what these
at those
guys do.
Yeah.
Well, they were brutal. And
well,
really,
how about this? What's an Andy Green thus far in the playoffs? 2 goals. Travis Konechny, 0 goals.
Claude Giroux,
1 goal, I believe it
one
was.
Goal, yes.
So if you're getting outscored by Andy Green, it's not good, man. Rough
well,
shape.
Andy Green. Yeah, Andy Green spent the series loading it up.
Yeah.
Like take and get the first game he had like 7 shots on net. I'm like, what is happening here?
When
right?
did
like,
you become the go-to shooter?
Well, and then he scored, right?
Yeah.
Like, of course. All of right. course he yeah. did, right? And then they said, that is Andy's third career playoff goal. And you're like, yeah, maybe you're the defensive conscience there, but you know what? What the hell do I know?
Yeah.
Dude scored and then he scored.
Glenn Leslie teeing it up from the blue.
Yeah, line. scored in the clincher as well.
Yeah.
Right? So, but you know, if you look at kudos to Carter Hart, right? If he pitched a shutout, Philly wins.
Yeah.
Right? If not, you know, they weren't giving him any help. And when you score in the teen, I mean, if you have in the teens for shots in a game 7,
yeah.
You don't deserve to win unless your goalie is Thatcher Demko.
Well, even then, yeah, no, I hear you. Because the same thing, as you point out, happened over in the West with Vancouver. And Thatcher Demko comes in, gets, you know, does his thing as well as he could possibly fucking do it. And the Canucks are getting just. But you started to wonder, is it going to be enough? Like, they were hanging tight for a long time. Like, well, not hanging tough, but they were getting peppered and whatever. But is he going to fucking do this? Is Vegas going to get goalied right out of here?
The last 3 games, 5, 6, and 7,
yeah.
Vegas had almost 130 shots and had two goals, or I guess the two empty netters, right?
Yeah.
But you are talking about, yeah, Demko allows two. And I saw him in Ottawa this year. He was in net for the Bobby Ryan hat trick game.
Right.
He did not strike me as a guy who was going to put this kind of effort on.
Right.
Right. Like, they had,
I think,
pull.
We saw him in Toronto here too. I can't remember for sure. But again, who just, eh, you know, like, because it might have been when Markstrom had gone home for some family stuff and,
yeah,
and they were riding Demko. So he didn't look like he was going to do this. And you wonder what that means for Markstrom now as a free agent.
Yeah.
And you don't want to overreact to these bubble games and whatever. But Demko has been the guy they wanted to get to for a while. And they've got Mike DiPietro coming. You know, how bad do you want to commit to Markstrom? And I've said this a couple times. I believe you have as well. You know, goalies are fucking voodoo. And Markstrom was fantastic this year, but was not fantastic in any year previous to this. So
the previous 10.
Right. So be careful locking him up long term, right? I don't know what they do with that now, man. That's really interesting.
Yeah, but the reality is, you know, goalies, other than the phenoms, and I would throw Carter Hart, and I would throw Vasilevsky,
yep,
obviously, as young guys who, you know, in their early 20s can be dominant or difference makers in net, right? Those guys are few and far between, right? Most goalies in that middle of the pack take much longer, right? So to me, yeah, if he's not there, you have to think about the expansion draft,
yep,
right? 1 year out before Seattle starts plucking guys, and you can only protect one goalie, right?
Yeah.
And that's why you see some of the posturing and what's happening now, like St. Louis.
Yep.
Clearly saying, all right, let's move this.
Speaking of guys, maybe you shouldn't bet on for 1 year.
Yeah, you know, well, and it was interesting, right? The fact that, you know, they won a cup, right? Yeah. And that's the first one in St. Louis. And so if you got to pay that guy his money, pay that guy his money,
guess,
right?
So.
But the difference is people talk about Allen, like, you know, he played better than Binnington here, but he's a year and a half away from people saying, go home.
Yes. Like literally, don't come with us on the road.
Yeah.
Stay here.
Yeah. We would rather you didn't play for us.
Right.
And so, somebody was quoting to me, you know, great playoff stats. And I'm like, yeah, but wins, no wins. Like nothing has come with
that.
Well,
and in the regular season, again, this year, as a backup, had I think it was like a 927. Like very, very good again. And he certainly won't be expected to be the guy in Montreal. And they have cap room for 1 year, which is when he'll become an unrestricted free agent. So they can get this done. And maybe he can succeed in that role as Price's backup. But if you're expecting him to be the guy, I'd be awfully scared, right?
Right. And this is that happened in between you and I being on together. The whole Allen for a third. And I'm thinking Bergevin, who I shit on, mm-hmm, and Montreal fans shit on a regular basis. You got to look at that and go, he flipped the third round pick that they got from Washington.
Kovalchuk.
For Kovalchuk. So you signed a guy for nothing.
Yep.
You brought him in. You flipped him for a third pick that you've turned down into
your backup.
A super competent backup.
Not a bad piece of business.
That they have not had in, like, this is the best tandem they've had since Waugh and Brian Hayward. Like, you're also known as the Jennings years in Montreal.
You're not loving Charlie Lindgren, eh? Or whatever the fuck else.
Primo, Gaten Primo.
Yeah. Well, this gives him another year to go back and start
for
in the minors. It's a nice piece of business for Montreal.
But if they play an 82-game schedule, which is a huge if,
it is.
You are looking at, you could run him out 30 games.
Oh,
right?
Easy, yeah.
30-plus games,
yep.
And he's going to provide that super competent, you know, it's not like in the past where they're running in, you know, Kincaid or young goalies, right? Exposing guys way too early. Alex Auld or the other guy, I can't remember what the other guy's name was that came to Ottawa afterwards. It doesn't matter.
Alex Auld.
No, I know. I think
Charlie Condit. Or not Condit. Something Condit. Condon? Mike Condon. Yeah. I'm thinking of Carlos Condit.
Carlos Condit is who I did see in Montreal.
Yeah. He was great.
I also saw him in Montreal, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't good enough, right?
No.
Do you remember his walkout music?
I don't.
Oh, it's Legend of Tom Joad.
Oh, nice.
And it, not the Springsteen version, but the right? Not when he's facing GSP.
Yeah.
But, so anyways, just how competent I think that really... how well that insulates him. And I think, you know, you look at them bringing in Scandella and for a fourth and then flipping him for a second, I think.
Yep.
I just think, yeah, Bergevin has done a decent job there, right? Is he done? By no means.
Well,
right?
And
but
yeah.
Torrey Krug would look good there.
Well, and ships out Galchenyuk for Domi, and we'll see whether Domi's going to stick around and what happens there now. But his first year in Montreal was very good. You know, everyone, including myself, thought he got his clock absolutely cleaned in the Weber for Subban trade. That doesn't appear to be quite so obvious now. Like, since then, he's probably been more competent than we've given him credit for. But well, when you're Montreal, you can't keep walking around with all that cap space. At some point, you better do something with it. And that's...
And the beauty of the... Yeah, we both thought that.
Yeah.
But at this point, yeah, well, Subban's already on his... second team since then.
Yep.
And Weber was dynamite in this playoff round.
Yes, he was.
Right? And so...
Well, the previous round.
Yeah, well, the last one he played in.
Yes.
And in taking care of Pittsburgh. Now, we look at though, and Montreal fans, good fan of Montreal. Good fan of Montreal. Fat guy... with the comb over, simmer down.
Couple Demorier lights.
Yeah. Oh, Demorier lights.
Molson X.
Yeah, they're more of an export green for yeah, sure. And a Golson Molden.
Yes.
Yeah, you just need to simmer down, right? Petrie, Weber.
Ben Chiarot.
The Trident.
Yes.
All over 30. And, you know, this is just simmer down. Just simmer down, right? In terms of what's going on there, the team is further away than you'd think. But
agreed,
I'm telling you, with Jake Allen, and they are a team that's in a position to overpay Torrey Krug, which is what Krug is looking for.
Looks like,
right? And so to me, I was listening to or reading, I can't remember now, but it was soaking into the Big Head. Right, that yeah, the ability to overpay is there in Montreal with $14 million in cap space. But he's a Detroit guy, and you look at the cap space they have in Detroit as well. Yeah, no, because to me, he's a guy.
Why don't you just take yourself right out of the fucking equation?
Well, but he's a guy who he's from Detroit.
Yeah.
And they have cap space. He's like Mike Green 2.0.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Right? Just bring that guy in, and honestly, whatever you're going to sign Krug for, 6 or 7 years, he's going to give you 2-3 good ones, sort of. And whichever team brings him in, yeah, it's you're going to hate that contract for half of it.
What do you think of the West Final, Vegas and Dallas? I thought interesting. It got a little better as Game 7 went on, but after two periods, Jamie Benn, second lowest even strength ice time on the team ahead of only their number 6 defenseman, things have not been great for him thus far. They did kind of break out in an interesting way. They were, for a few games, they're up over like 5 goals a game when they averaged through the season just shy of 3. Vegas, they to me look like the best team of anybody left. Maybe Tampa. And if they had a healthy Stamkos, you know, maybe that would be different. But to me, I kind of like Vegas quick in this, but Dallas has come further than I expected them to.
Everything Vegas does, they do it better than Dallas does.
Yeah.
Right? If you look at their
when they put a trident through their goalie's back, they do it better than Dallas does.
Yeah, that's the sword. A2 Brute.
Sword, yes.
Yeah, exactly. except for the power play. Right now, if you look at what's happening, you know, Dallas is killing it on the power play. And
between Heiskanen and Klingberg there, man.
Yeah,
it's dangerous.
But if you look at 5-on-5, both expected offense and defense, it's just everything is better in Vegas, right? Yeah. And whatever Robin Lehner is providing is far superior to Khudobin.
Yep.
Right? The roly-poly Russian goalie. who's actually, I think, Kazakhstan.
I could be wrong. I think he was the goalie on the Ilya Kovalchuk World Junior team. The old ride the stick.
Oof. In Winnipeg?
Might have been in Winnipeg.
Yeah, 99, 98.
Okay, World then juniors? I'm probably wrong. He's not almost 40.
Yeah, no, that's he's not old enough for that.
No, okay. Fair enough.
But I like the image though.
Yeah.
that was 99 in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Dan, and I've hated Kovalchuk since then.
Yeah. Fuck you, buddy.
Yeah, for sure, man. You're sour.
You and your 18-year-old. I don't care what you've done since then.
Okay. I wasn't sure where you're going with the 18-year-old bit.
Well, he was 18 when he did it.
Yeah, I know. But I'm like, you know, screw you and your 18-year-old
girlfriend.
What? What's happening here? But yeah, and I like how they have the option, if things don't go well for Robin Lehner, who is the absolute number one there
looks
now.
Looks like.
But you have Fleury in waiting, right? Whereas Khudobin, he goes down.
Jake Oettinger, you're up, buddy.
For sure, because you're not running Big Ben back out there again.
Well, I don't even know if he's healthy enough to run out there again. But
I know, but game day that he played that last game where he allowed 4 goals on,
yeah,
I don't know, 5 shots.
Do you remember Jake Oettinger's claim to fame?
Jake Oettinger.
He was the guy with the American flag pads for that outdoor junior game a couple of years ago in Buffalo. He had the American flag. Like if you put the pads together, it was the, I'm like, ugh.
Love that.
Yeah, I don't.
They eat that shit. They eat that shit up.
MAGA.
Right? But, hey.
Make Oettinger great again.
I think it's disrespectful to use your flag as underwear.
Something that people are shooting at.
Yes, exactly right. It's just one of those things like, you see the Union Jack in a miniskirt or you see. It's like, what are you doing here? What's happening? But yeah, to me, all the way around, Vegas has the game to go through it. And to me, they're just playing really well. And if it wasn't for Thatcher, prep school Demko, you have, you know, they run through Vancouver.
Yeah.
Right? So it comes down to, quality from top to bottom on that team.
We kind of glanced over the point, I guess. Tampa is the high-powered run-and-gun, do their thing. The Islanders are bog you the fuck down. You think the Isles have it in them to do that to Tampa, or is this a mismatch?
I think it's a mismatch, ultimately. I think if you look at what Tampa can bring, and I think what Tampa has learned, right, and we've talked about this in past shows, right? Their ability to be patient, which they haven't had in other years, they're doing it well. And if you look at a team with Hedman and Sergachev, thank you, Bergevin, and then just a bunch of old, steady guys in between, right? Whether it's,
Braden Coburn and...
Yeah, McDonough and just all they have.
Luke Shen out there killing penalties.
Whatever
the
they got
day.
Going on there. It's just a bunch of guys where you're like, you are the actual physical embodiment of, bubble gum, elastics, and Band-Aids. That's what's sort of stretching in between those, right?
Yeah.
It's, but effective, right? Like, just... Well, this is what I need you to do. Do it. And you got guys saying, I can do that.
Yeah. And then you let the top pours it. Like Braden Point has been unreal thus far. Kucherov still doing his thing, right? And again, if they had Stamkos.
Well, do you know, and I'm going to put you on the spot again like I did last week. Do you know what the status of Kucherov is?
No.
After him getting that, honestly, that 2x4 of a stick that Chara uses right in the head, the blunt force trauma.
Seems like it would hurt.
Yeah, it seems like it would hurt, right? It's one of those things where it hit me in the, and it caused a, you know, a pressure split in my skin somewhere further back in my head. You're like, that's like getting hit by a baseball
and
bat.
Kind of bzz, bzz, little short yeah, circuit there.
Well, this is it. And he goes off and he comes back out and he finished the period. But then he was like, nah, I don't think so, man. Something's not right.
So after three rounds, you know, the bubble and the first two, what do we call them? The qualifiers and then the first two rounds of the playoffs. If there's going to be a weak point, if there's going to be a break point in the bubble, it's here, right? Where you have to travel east to west, couple of flights. I know there are chartered flights and this and that. There's been zero tests inside the NHL bubble. I would think, in theory, if you can clear this, you should be home free.
I got absolute 100% faith in them pulling this off. I think what they've done so far, if you can pull these guys out on their consistent buses that they've been traveling back and forth, you know, out to BMO or wherever in the field. And if you can take them to the airport on that, get them on a charter, take them in on one of the other, you know, regular buses they've been using to get into the bubble there. Yep. To me, this is, they've done a fantastic job, as has the NBA.
Yep.
Worth noting, right?
For
sure. We'll see what happens with the NBA saying, you know, they've now brought families in.
Yeah.
We'll see if anything comes of that.
No coaches, though, eh? One of the coaches there, I can't remember which one, was lashing out saying, hey, you know, we miss our families too.
Right, but how about Jimmy Butler?
Yeah.
How about Jimmy Butler saying, it is business.
Yeah.
Mind your business.
Yeah, I'm not bringing my family in here.
I'm on a business trip, man. I'm here for work. And and you know what? If it was anybody other than Jimmy Buckets, right, who you know, has worn his welcome out in a couple places. Yeah,
for sure.
And you sort of go, I don't know, man. That guy strikes me as a bit of a douche. but anyways, I like the sentiment. Really, it's a long way around to diss the guy, but then to say, yeah,
but I agree.
I agree. At the end of the day, you're like, yeah, man, I'll Skype you every day.
Yeah.
Right? I do miss my family. I really do, but I'll see you in another month.
Sure.
Right. Stay home. Because you see, the whole Raptors, that game two, a lot of sliding between the sheets, I think, going on there. I think women weakening legs. Although Mike Milbury said that and got canned. Matt, am I still good for next week?
We're playing the hold music right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Search for a replacement.
What's up? Who do we have? Do we have another co-host here somewhere? Anywhere?
I wanted to talk a little about the Jays. Before we sat down to start, I had checked in. It was 10 to 4, and I came in, hooked up a couple of cables, and looked back. It was 10 to 8. That game is now over. It was a 10-8 final. They've been fascinating to watch, but I got to tell you, the further we get into this, watching the Blue Jays at this point essentially run unopposed for the final playoff spot, while they have three starting pitchers, their setup guy, their closer, and their two best hitters now all out of the lineup, makes me question whether the expanded playoffs moving forward is really something I'm that interested in.
I have been watching on many nights. The Jays are my go-to.
Yeah, I've been picking the Jays over hockey.
And I've added everything else in,
yeah.
Right? Honestly, the other night, So 2 days ago, I was watching Raptors. I was watching Game 7 of the Islanders. I was watching the Jays. And I was watching this unprecedented run of Canadian men at the U.S. Open, right? Mm-hmm. Vasek Pospisil coming back. And
you see what happened to Djokovic just before we went on?
No.
Oh, he's been defaulted out of the tournament. He's pissed off at a call, so he picks up a ball and hammers it at no one in particular, but hits a lineswoman in the neck. And she drops, has to be helped out. And they're like, yeah, you're out of the fucking tournament, man. So something like $2 million in purse money, apparently no longer available to Mr.
And dude,
Djokovic.
Dude, I think, was undefeated this year.
He was.
The only person to take him down, or the only thing to take him down, was a pandemic.
Yeah, when he threw one of those parties.
And he got COVID,
yeah.
Right? So
he threw a in the face of the pandemic back at home, he threw a party, no mask, no distancing, no whatever, and like half the attendees, including him, got COVID. But it was a lineswoman who took the brunt of it today.
He's an anti-vaxxer too, right?
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
So it's interesting.
He's not having a great 2020.
No, and it's funny because I was at, when the Davis Cup was here, Great Britain versus Canada, I went to see a little Davis Cup tennis, which was down at Lansdowne where the 67s play.
Yeah.
Fascinating to watch. That was where Shapovalov, a young Denis Shapovalov, cranked the judge in the face with the tennis, with the ball. He did the same thing. He whacked it and it hit the ump in the eye. Bam, broke his orbital bone.
Oh, shit.
Right, so you're talking about like an 18-year-old Denis Shapovalov, and he got fined.
Smashing officials in the face.
Yeah, honestly, right in the head.
Well, here's the world number one today at the U.S. Open.
Wow.
He's
the guy when I think Canada was playing Serbia in the Davis Cup final, and Djokovic said, Canada's bringing over a guy named Vasek Pospisil and Milos Raonic. Are there any Canadians
that they're
actually
not
coming
playing for us? Yeah, exactly. It's fair, man.
Yeah, it's totally fair. But that's what we are, man.
Yeah.
We are a mosaic.
For
that's
sure.
The beauty of what we are.
So the Jays have run off. I think they're now 22-17.
Sorry about that, folks. That's what I bring to the show, right? We start with
chaos.
The Jays, and we ended up with the U.S. Open tennis.
Yeah, down lines women.
Yeah. Oh, down. Piper Dune. Piper Dune. But yeah, they've been my go-to. And so...
Well, they're hurting. It looks like Giles is getting close. Maybe they have two off days. Finally, the Jays have played 28 games over the last 27 days.
Thursday's their first off day, I think, eh?
I thought it was Monday and Thursday, but you could be right. Maybe it's Thursday and Monday. I know there's two coming up.
Thursday next Monday, I think.
Okay, fair enough. So it looks like Giles will come off next Friday. He's going to throw another simulated game Tuesday, and he should return. No word yet on Romano. Bichette has been taking ground balls. Looks like he's close to getting back.
And running the bases. I was looking at a video of him running the bases as well.
So, you know, they're getting healthy, but watching a team this beat up, basically, like I said, run unopposed for this final playoff spot makes me wonder, you know. Now, they are kind of neck and neck right there with the Yankees, who, speaking of teams decimated by injuries, and the Rays are... you know, far and away the best in the East right now. But yeah, they've been interesting to watch, man. And, you know, if this was a normal year and they hadn't expanded the playoffs, you know, things look different, but it's not. And so they aren't. And this is, you can only play what's in front of you. And
they have been an absolute calamity on the base paths.
Oh, fuck.
How many times have you seen a guy get picked off second base? And like, honestly, I've been watching baseball pretty constantly since 1983. Oh, yeah. The number of times you see a pitcher turn and throw to the second baseman and pick a guy off, I don't know. Maybe you see it once a season. Honestly, I think we've seen that five times with the Jays this year. Guys getting picked off first. You got Jonathan VR
coming over from, I was just going to say, man, that's
the
deadline.
This great base runner, and he's standing there putting his sliding glove on and gets tagged out, and you're like, could you not stand on the bag? I have no, like, what are you doing? And it's not, it's Vladdy. It was Bo Bichette when he was still here. You know, it's Gurriel. Everybody's been guilty of it. It's like five or six guys it's not just one guy.
So my understanding, and I just caught this within the last few days, I was reading something that said in the Blue Jays minor league system, they encourage you to run wild on the base paths and will reel you in when you get to the majors. But learn to be aggressive. Learn to steal. Learn to take first to third. Go,
right.
Go, go.
Well, that shit's happening.
Time to reel them in, man. Like, they're here, and it's chaos.
Well, and it's the old adage, right? You know, don't make the first or the third out at third, right? And you're like, that shit's
here
happening on a regular basis, right? You know? And you're like, God damn. Like, and Vladdy with that on Friday night, I think it was, he's on first, there's two outs, the pop up. It's like, honestly, it's a foot off the dirt in right field, and it drops. And so he's already running, but then he stops, and then he thinks, Yeah, I'm like Ricky Henderson. From a standing position, I can now break for home. And the guy, the guy's like, all right. And 15 feet.
Yeah, not it's, even close. I mean,
don't slide, man. Just wander and go, oh, fuck. Sorry.
Already with your hand on your face. Fuck, sorry.
But I would say to me, since the beginning of the season, Hatch, Romano, and Bass, those guys have been absolute studs, finds, like in terms of what you have. And so if we can get...
And even Yamaguchi, who the first week of the season, you're like, what the fuck is this guy? Right? Like, it was brutal. And he's sort of found it here late. Like, he went three innings there for him, I think, Saturday.
Saturday night,
Yeah, and, like, he's coming along. Like, he's been okay, too. But early on, it was the bullpen... And this is one of those things that I've sort of learned over the years is from year to year, even if you bring back the exact same guys who were great for you in the pen last year, it could be trash this year, right? Like the bullpen, almost similar to goaltending voodoo. You just no idea year to year whose stuff's going to play, who's going to get lit up, who's going to... Having this pen that can kind of go for you has carried them a long way. And I'm sort of past the point where early on I was getting frustrated a lot with you kept seeing starters out in the fourth and fifth, and you're like, he's only throwing 70 pit. They don't care. Like, they're not going to let, when they have a pen this good, they're not going to let their starters go a third time through the lineup. They're just going to go to the pen. And it's not a, you know, it's not the failure that I thought it was. It's the game plan. That's what they want to do now. And you're almost looking at that kind of 2015 Kansas City Royals sort of setup where we're just going to get through a few innings here and then get it to the pen. And, you know,
they have not had a starter get out of the sixth inning yet.
No.
In 37 or 38 games. They have not had a guy get out of the sixth inning.
Here's a stat for you that's not getting a ton of play.
Give it to me, Matt.
Yunjin Ryu has six consecutive starts where he has given up fewer than two earned runs. That's a Blue Jays record. Halliday and Clemens each had five. Six straight starts of five innings or more. And his have been five right on. Because as you've said, nobody's getting to the sixth. Two fucking earned runs or less, man. He's been everything he's been supposed
to. The roly-poly Korean pitcher.
Everything he was advertised to be, man. Seems to be.
Yeah. I would say he went through. He was the opening day starter.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't know what you're going to get opening day, right? It's everybody's sort of on a pitch count and you're sort of wondering. And then the second and third outings, you're like, But man, since then, dude has just been better than I expected.
Yeah.
You know, really, in terms of what I expected him to provide.
Right.
Yeah, great. And so we'll see what happens with Walker and then once some of the guys get healthy. But this to me is, they are where my viewing priority is and everything else is getting added around it. Now that we're into conference finals and into the cup, I'm sort of in for the haul.
Right.
But I'm loving this, and basketball is a clear third.
Last thing I think we wanted to touch on here was a little bit of American beauty, man, as we floated through our Labor Day weekend, or in some cases, I guess, sank through our Labor Day weekend.
Look at you, Matt. What a pro that guy is.
There was a boat parade down in Texas in support of our good Orange Goblin president.
Yes.
And some boats sank. I guess the main issue or part of the issue was it's a long, narrow lake, as I saw some of the photos after. And you think of a boat parade, you're kind of going like, they all just sort of, you know, keep her slow, right? You're just parading. No, these are fucking Donald Trump guys. So they're
Texans.
It. Yeah, of course. Right? And so they're pinning it through the lake in this long. And so the wake is coming up from both sides. It's coming back off the shore. And some of the shittier boats in their parade. And one family that was just out for a lazy Saturday, completely swamped. Boats are sinking. I can't think of anything more perfect to support this president than boats on the fucking bottom of the lake, man.
Well, and you sent me the link, and I read through it, and I'm like, okay, first of all, it sounds really yokel.
Of course.
Right. But whatever. They've pulled off a bunch of them in California and Florida.
Yep.
But the it was, to me, the thing that stuck out in the article was was Pacey, whatever her face is, the woman who organized it, who said, I have a child, and my sole purpose, for organizing this was to show my daughter that this is what I want to fight for. This is the country I believe in.
Ugh.
And you're like, well, okay, wait. Which part? The part where people's lives are at jeopardy and the boats have sank to the bottom? Like this, that's right here. or is this just the greater sort of, you know, analogy or for the country right now, which has never got a control of the pandemic, right?
That might have been my favorite line of the whole thing was they're only finding more boats on the bottom of the lake because we're looking more. We've just started.
and the country is riddled with racial strife and rioting. And
you're like,
which part? What I'm unclear, Pacey. What's happening here, right? In terms of
the SS Margaritaville, right on the bottom of the lake.
Maggot.
Yeah. M-A-G-A.
I'm not sure. To me, that was very fitting, right? That was the thing that jumped out.
Hysterical, man.
Well, and yes, they're only finding boats because they're looking harder.
Yes.
Right. If I don't look at all, I don't find them.
Yeah. Well, right? It goes right back to Trump's, we're only finding all these COVID tests because we're searching more. We're testing more than other guys.
Sorry, okay. I trampled over your,
it's
your,
all right,
good,
man.
Your good line there.
It's all right, it's, man.
But it, to me, it's an interesting time, and really, as people who don't have any, you know, say in it, I am keenly interested in what continues to transpire down there.
As long as the border's closed, as long as it just remains a reality show.
Yeah, but you were camping, Matt, in a place in Brockville, Brockapoco.
Yeah.
With people from Louisiana. How does that happen, Matt?
Well, we talked about it on the show.
I know we did. Yeah. I know we did.
Guy clearly said he'd been here 21. Yeah, it's pretty porous, man.
Clearly the border
same
is
as his
not
wall
close.
On the other side. People just fleeing across however they fucking feel
and
like.
And there's the irony of the whole thing, right? Trump is worried about Mexicans or terrorists from Canada. Who knows?
Yeah.
Right? Getting into the country. Well,
we're worried about your people getting out.
How are you biological terrorists? But just in closing, I'm pouring back the MK Ultra,
and
which is MK / Ultra. It's not really good. I think you would like that, right? In terms of the, I'm not getting a pile of the maybe a bit of the apricot sort of mango in the. Again, I sound like a douchebag when I say it, but the body of it, right? The bouquet, right? Yeah. When you inhale it, but to me, it's very drinkable. And this is from our good friends at Conspiracy Theory Delivery in Ontario and Ottawa.
We're not good friends yet. You got to earn that title. Let's see what they bring me.
That's true. All right. I totally get it. But that's an easy drinking beer, though.
Right on. Maybe you'll be good enough to send us over a shot or two to... post for our friends on Instagram.
Yes, I will.
At Tall Can Audio. That's TCA 726. Try and keep your boat off the bottom of the lake, folks, before you finish up your summer vacation. It's back to school. It's back to work. We're going to see, man, the numbers here in Ontario trending back up before we've done any of these things. And
for sure.
I'm not optimistic, but that's pretty much par for my...
Yes.
My personal.
We'd have to ask for somebody outside.
For sure.
You know, your pants.
Oh, not a lot of room outside of those.
Sometimes all you have is hope, but not in Matt's case.
Fucking pissed that away a long time ago. DCA 726. We'll catch you all on the next one.
See ya.
Now, if y'all ain't got nothing else for me to drink, I'm a haul ass. No, I'm serious. I'm about to haul ass if y'all have no better shit than this to drink.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.